This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Busy, busy hour coming up. Busy couple hours, actually. Commissioner Tony Bennett, just this hour alone. But Wes, as we head into the start of the men's ACC tournament in Greensboro, the number one seed is Virginia. And we've talked about what Tony Bennett, we're going to have a coach coming up here in about 15 minutes, but the run that Tony Bennett and Virginia are on as far as ACC regular season championships and the program that he has built, I'm not sure people outside of Charlottesville understand how dominant it has been. Not just good and terrific and all that great stuff, but dominant. I mean, the numbers do not lie with what Tony Bennett's been able to pull off here. Really impressive.
Well, you have to step into and step away from a season and go back and kind of compartmentalize a little bit about what Virginia has done and then find other sequences, right, in ACC basketball to compare it to, and they're there. But I think what you've seen really since 2010, 2011 is Virginia's just as good, if not better, than the other perceived blue bloods of the league, or in Leonard Hamilton's case, new bloods, Pack.
Right. I mean, everybody thinks it's Duke and Carolina, but here are the numbers. And this is not just a spike of a couple years. This is, we're taking a snapshot since the 2010-11 season. Outright regular season titles. Virginia and North Carolina have four. They shared another one, so that gives them five. And Duke doesn't have a one. Florida State's won one. ACC tournament titles. Everybody's been able to dip into the toe in the deep end of the pool. Duke's won three. North Carolina's won one. Florida State's won one. Virginia's won a couple. NCAA tournament championships. Duke, check. Virginia, check. Carolina, check. Florida State wants to get there. NBA picks, just to show you the unbelievable amount of talent everybody's been rolling around there. Look at the numbers from Duke. 27 NBA picks, 13 lottery picks, 20 first-round picks. Compare that with Virginia, winning, getting old. Again, two totally different styles, but yet two teams that have had great, great success. The numbers don't lie. And finally, ACC wins and losses, Wes. Virginia, the best of the bunch since 2010-11. That is impressive.
Yeah, no question. The winning percentage is the one thing that jumps off the page when you roll it out there against the others. The other part about it is, and you just said it, Mark, they get old and they got old. The team that went to Minneapolis and won the title is an old basketball team. And now they've been able to bridge it again. I mean, think about it. They bridged it one more time with this group they've got this year, but Diakite, Jerome Guy, kind of London Parentes, who I think get lost a little bit in some of their success. I had somebody tell me the forefathers of Virginia basketball, Malcolm Brogdon and Joe Harris. You know, it's just one of those things that I think at the end we're losing sight of just how good Virginia has been because we're not thinking of it in the ways we think of Duke and Carolina. And to the point of others, we need to think of Virginia that way, and we certainly need to think of Florida State that way too, although the Noles need the Final Four. They need that appearance, and I'm not saying they need it now, but at some point it will enhance kind of what they've done too.
Well, I think the purpose of this segment is that when you have your common conversation regarding ACC basketball, I was about Duke, Carolina. Man, if you don't put Virginia and Florida State in that conversation, you don't know what you're talking about. And it's not to demean or take down what the Shades of Blue have done. I mean, Duke at North Carolina have been fantastic, but so has Virginia. And what Leonard Hamilton has built at Florida State, those four institutions. And again, we're not just giving you a snapshot of, hey, they've been just good the last couple of years. So, and you know, let's kind of put them off to the side. Wrong answer. That's a wrong answer. This has been going on now for a while. And, you know, we started the show today talking about 1974. This is not that ACC. The ACC is different. You know, it's a different landscape as far as expansion, more teams, more opportunities. And, you know, what have you done for me lately? So the last snapshot, really the last decade of basketball in this great league has been dominated by those teams. It's not just Duke and Carolina. Yep. You must include Virginia, and you have to throw in Florida State. You got to do it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, and I think it's one of the things now, and you said this yesterday, this scenario is Virginia, Florida State, Duke, Carolina, whatever order you want to put it in. I mean, it's what we talked about yesterday. I think it's kind of where the ACC is. And, oh, by the way, those are the, you know, double bye scenarios. Those are those four slots. How does that work? I mean, you know, you have the expectation of Duke and Carolina, but Virginia is clearly there. Florida State is clearly there. This is an interesting week. Virginia and Florida State, of those four, are the only two that don't play till Thursday, Pack.
You know, and the flip side is, and I'm sure fans at Syracuse and Louisville are probably screaming at us right now, you know, hey, Louisville did win a national championship last decade. Syracuse mm-hmm. has seen a Final Four. You know, Jim Boeheim has won a national championship. But the consistency level of these four schools, the ones that we just put on the screen, the shades of blue, Virginia and Florida State, have been different. Doesn't mean that Syracuse and right. Louisville and somebody else can't get there. In fact, I think all of us are hoping that is the case moving forward, that other teams can join in the mix. But I think there needs to be an understanding, big picture, when you start talking about ACC basketball and who are the standards in this league. Right now, mm-hmm. you have to include those teams. And I know Duke's 11-11 this year, but let me tell you something. The next time you see Duke go 500, you know what? They probably will have won another national championship or two. Yeah. That's my point. So, yeah. I mean, this is just one of those outlier years in Durham. For the most part, we know what Mike Krzyzewski and Duke's all about. We know what Roy Williams has built after what Dean Smith established and Frank McGuire, et cetera, et cetera. But what Leonard Hamilton has built in the new day of ACC hoops is awesome. And really the only thing yep. missing on that resume, Wes, as you pointed out, is a Final Four appearance. And who knows? Maybe a little luck. You can cut down the nets too. Yep. And are they capable of doing it this year? They are. So, you know, to me, that's just a matter of time for Leonard Hamilton. They were capable of getting there last year. We didn't have the tournament. They're capable of doing it again this year.
No question. Looking forward to visiting with Tony Bennett. It's an interview we taped yesterday following the show. Coach was always really good talking about his team and the success they've had and kind of measuring it as it goes to Greensboro this week as the top seed. And don't forget the commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips, follows us with a visit at 8:30. We'll have him for the whole half hour. We look forward to getting caught up on kind of what the first month and change have been like for him in this new post with the Atlantic Coast Conference. All on opening day Tuesday of the ACC tournament. Don't forget our coverage of the tournament starts on ACC Network at 2 o'clock. But when we come back, the coach of the regular season champs is with us. There's the water bottles for Tony Bennett. Back next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, the commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips. Look forward to having him on the program. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. But Wes, we had an opportunity to talk with the number one seed's head coach yesterday after the show, and TB is always interesting.
Yeah, it was great. We started our visit with Coach Bennett by saying, hey, Saturday was a strange day. You woke up maybe thinking you didn't have much of a shot at the ACC, and by the time the afternoon rolled around, look what happened.
Right. No, I got a text from my wife, and she said, did you see the halftime score, whatever time that was? And I hadn't. And she said, well, Notre Dame was – winning by, I can't remember if it was 14 or 16. And so, you know, I'm like, well, you know, that's the one time you obviously pull for someone in your league to take care of business. So it was, you know, obviously it was important to play well, but to go into that game knowing that, hey, if we're successful, we can win a regular season ACC title. And in a year like this, yes, there's so many skewed things going on, but boy, did that provide some extra motivation and hope and excitement heading into that game. And that's why I was pleased with, again, how our guys responded with the chance. You know, we talk about it all the time, and it's why I took the job. You come into a place like this to get chances that we call them title fights. And that was a chance to get or have a regular season title fight. And it was, you know, a lot of, again, energy and excitement for that moment.
Coach, I want to actually take you to the game before Louisville. And I thought in the second half, by not starting Huff and Clark, you were kind of also sending a message that, hey, guys, it's time all of us have to be focused in and ready to go. What was the mindset and the decision-making process behind that and the message that was being sent?
I think that what was important in the Louisville game that sort of answers your question is we got Thomas Woldetenzi back. I played Justin McCoy and Francisco Cafaro and Casey Morcell. So we played some more depth in that game. And I thought the way the first half ended in the Miami game you're referring to, they gave us a great run. And then I said, we're going with that energy and that execution and fire and spark they provided to start the second half. And of course I challenged TA and Jay and said, look, you know, these guys are giving to us. And so when you guys come off the bench, be ready. And I thought that depth helped. So it was just a message of, you know, it's so many teams are on such a fine line and you need everything. And I thought it was so exciting that our bench played a role, as did others in this conference championship win. That made it sweet. And Sam, watching those clips, had a stretch that was unbelievable. Just put us on his back.
Coach, is depth really the intangible you focus on most maybe this time of year? I mean, you've been successful in this week and kind of these events, and depth seems to always be a factor, doesn't it?
Well, we've been playing, you know, five guys most of the year, heavy, heavy minutes. And whether it's an injury or certain things, we'd play a six here or there. And, you know, ironically, these last two games, we've gone now to eight or nine. So I think for us, it's important because we need everything. You need that extra spark, that energy. You never know with a foul trouble or anything like that. So I'm just grateful, again, that some of these other guys have contributed the way they have, and it's added a spark, you know, these last couple games for sure.
Coach, going back to that Louisville game, I thought it was fascinating with about 10, 11 minutes ago in a game where, hey, anybody's game, you got a comfortable lead, they made a run, you're looking to give some guys just some minutes, and all of a sudden there was about a 4 or 5 minute stretch from about 10, 11 minutes to about the 6 minute mark. You got every shot, you got every offensive rebound, guys made plays, and what turned out to be getting maybe some quality minutes in terms of just some blow time, if you will. Hey, guys got a chance to put their feet up and really watch guys go to work, and you took control of a really critical game to win the ACC championship.
Yeah, it was. And for some of that, again, that was more of our bench guys were in there. We either had foul trouble, and they provided a spark, and, you know, they separated a little bit. You mentioned some of the hustle plays were made. Some of the plays were made. Some of the stops on the defensive end that required just happened. So, again, that's why it felt even more like a team effort from an on-the-court standpoint in that. But, you know, I really, you know, we had a play. When you get in those settings and you can make some plays, you know, I thought Jay had a real good first half. I mentioned Sam was terrific. Kihei guarded Carlik Jones, Trey Murphy, Reese, you know, the guys that play a lot. And then we got a great lift from Justin McCoy and, you know, Thomas and the other guys that came in. So it felt really good to have that kind of depth. But it was just a game where we talked about not yielding defensively, and I thought that was the case.
All right, so you know you're going to play noon Thursday. You're going to play Syracuse or NC State. Beyond that, do you even let the walls go down a little bit, or is it really just kind of focusing on those two teams this week in your preparation?
Yeah, that's all you can do, and even that presents a little bit of a challenge, not knowing who you're going to play. And talk about, you know, different contrasting styles with Syracuse. You know, they're going to play the zone and what they do, and then NC State. And obviously in this league, there's so much – it's been so close. You know, we've had so many close games. Yeah. So you get ready, and, you know, you sometimes look at, all right, when do you practice on Wednesday, right? Do you practice at, 1:30, so you kind of maybe know the majority of your practice, who's going to win, or do you practice before to mirror your game time? So those are all those little decisions that you make, but certainly have respect for both teams, and, you know, anyone's capable this year in our league for sure. And, you know, you know, college basketball is showing that with the way the season has gone.
Coach, you know what the best news for me was about you guys winning the ACC regular season? Can I show you the best news?
Dying to hear it.
All right, let me show you. The value of this right here just went up. The value of that right there just went up. The more of these bad boys that you can win, the more this thing becomes more valuable in our basement. That's all I know right there. Tony Bennett signed court from the national championship. You keep winning these titles, man, this thing becomes more valuable.
So it's all about money with you. I got it.
Well, I mean, no, listen, I like to spread the wealth for everybody. I want everybody in the league to win. When everybody in the league wins, we all are better off for it. But, you know, you start looking around the walls and going, hey, what's really valuable in here? This Tony Bennett signed court for the national championship game. It keeps going up in value every time you win an ACC championship. That's all I know.
I hate to break it to you, but that's not worth much with my signature. I'm real about that. So it's like my son, you know, I'm the guy when I played the NBA, you'd get all those bubble gum packets of the cars. I'm like, dang it, I got another Tony Bennett. Shoot, I was the filler guy that they put in there to get, you got to get a bunch of packs to get the real good players, but I was the guy that they put in there. You get, dang, this is my fifth Tony Bennett card because that ain't worth anything.
Oh, that's great. Hey, I love that.
Hey, wait, you know, a second.
You'd be surprised in Charlotte, though, what a Tony Bennett Charlotte Hornets trading card would go for. So depends who you're talking to there, Coach.
Is it up to 2 cents now?
about maybe three on a good day. On a good day, we can get 3 cents.
Hey, I got to tell you, in all the years that I've been to John Paul Jones since you've been up there coaching, I can't tell you how disappointed I am. Nobody's running around wearing the teal and the 25 up there in the seats, by the way.
Someone did. There was one of the college students got the jersey, and I've seen a couple, and they like kind of ran in front of me, and I just got this big smile, and it was the one thing where probably pridefully I told my son, hey, someone was wearing my NBA jersey, and we kind of laughed at it, but I have that. Well, you talk about great memories. We probably talked about it before that time in Charlotte during those years, which was really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, that student was escorted out of the building immediately, but that's beside the point.
All right. I want to – you mentioned Sam Hauser and the stretch he had against Louisville the other day. I want to follow up with this. He's first-team All-ACC. But above that, it's the third time in the last 4 years you've had a first-team All-ACC selection. To that point, yesterday's show, Seth Greenberg talked to us extensively about how you're now one of those programs. What's it mean for Sam to come to your program, sit out that year, have the kind of contribution he's had, and fit into your system? Not just lead the league in three-point percentage, but to do the little things it takes to make your team successful and your program better?
Sam's a terrific player, and look, for what was at stake in that game to win an ACC regular season championship and how he had put us on his back, I mean, I think he could have been the MVP, and obviously I'm biased, and I respect all the players that got the awards, but special player, and again, good player coming in, and we recruited him out of high school. He's from Stevens Point, Wisconsin, where I went to, you know, grew up junior high, and my dad coached, and so I knew what we had when we got him, and he spent that year in his offseason developing and was, you know, anybody who watched the game saw it, he put on a show. And to me, that's what, you know, a first-team all-conference or a player of the year guy is. When it's crunch time, he takes over the game. And so I was, like I said, it was a great feeling for him, and his parents were at the game. And, you know, he came here because they said he wanted a chance to be in a major league and win a championship. And, you know, he got a chance to do that in the regular season, and hopefully we'll get some more chances.
Coach, I know that you're concentrating, obviously, on the Greensboro ACC tournament coming up, but looking back real quick, the three-game losing streak, what did you learn about your team during that stretch? Because you've always done a great job at when things look dire, hey, we're going to find something positive and start building on it. But what did you learn about your team in that tough stretch?
Well, you learn you're always on that fine line, and when we're not, you know, really right, it can be challenging for us and most teams, but for us. And it takes – that's why, look, we won the ACC regular season after that three-game slide. I was filled with so much gratitude. It was ecstatic in that locker room and that excitement, and then I was filled with so much gratitude to see those guys bounce back and recover. You know, and then, look, it fades. Perspective comes in. You get to work, and now you get ready for the ACC tournament. But that's life's greatest teacher, is it stings when you go through that adversity and lose. I think there's a lot of times more wisdom in those moments than in the in the successful moments. And that's where you got to say, all right, what's real? What do we got to do? And then no guarantees it's going to work out, but you go to work on the things that exposes and it refines you, so to speak.
All right, one last thing for me, the celebration in the locker room. I saw the video on social media. How would you, in one word, Coach, one word, how would you describe your celebratory dance move?
No, it's more than one word. I got all of it. We sprayed the water and started jumping up and down. And here's what's happened. I've done a few of those. You start jumping and you're yelling and you get lightheaded. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, I got to bend down. So I gave it the old, I don't know what, the fist pump. And I'm like, I'm out of here. And I just flipped the water bottle, walked out because I could feel all the blood going down. And I didn't want to pass out. So I just kind of bent down and gave it the fist pump and walked off. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
You know, that's a lot better than one word. I like that one even better.
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, congratulations on an incredible run.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Another regular season title for Tony Bennett. 5 total, 4 of them outright. And you joined an exclusive list in that accomplishment. We look forward to following the Cavaliers in Greensboro. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Always great, Pack. Yeah. Always great.
Yeah, great coach and an even better person. And he has built an incredible program in Charlottesville.
Sure has. They'll be the number one seed taking the floor Thursday at noon in Greensboro. The commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference for the 68th annual Atlantic Coast Conference Men's Basketball Championship is Jim Phillips. And he'll spend the next half hour with us here on Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. All right, you just heard from Tony Bennett. And now, Wes, we don't mess around. We go to the very top. Nope. We went to the very top of the standings with the men with Tony Bennett. Now we go to the very top of the league with the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference. That'd be Commissioner Jim Phillips, who joins us. Commissioner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We can't complain. We hope that you've made the transition from Evans attending all the way down here to beautiful Greensboro. It's only going to be like 75 this week. So we hope that you're adjusting to spring in the Carolinas.
It's been great. I got off that plane and it was plus 31 degrees in this direction. So I'm not going back. You're stuck with me.
Well, it's good. Before we get started with details, I would like to put a tweet up that I put up on social media back in December, because the first time you were on with us, you were very, very kind to surprise us because we talked about what a great food town Chicago is. And so I put a tweet up because in honor of what you sent us for the ACC football championship between Notre Dame and Clemson, I decided to take Monaldi's deep dish pizzas, which you sent, and this is what they look like. And so we celebrated with your pizzas for the ACC football championship game. So those look pretty good, and they were delicious. All right, so we appreciate that. So I figured that we're going to have you on the show today. And my wife has been up making a little breakfast, because I'd normally go Bojangles with a corporate sponsorship. But because you're on today, Kamish, I decided to go.
Oh, no.
And it's not totally dip, but as you well know, if you're going to go Italian beef, you got to go with the one and only Portillo's. So if you don't mind, I'm going to have a little breakfast while you and Wes discuss the business of the day. But this is how I like it, too. The sweet peppers, if it was only dipped, Kamish, if it was only dipped, we would be in business, but I'd have it from head to toe. But I can't thank you enough for feeding us Portillo's deep dish pizza. And again, next time we hook up face-to-face, the barbecue is on us, all right? That's the least we could do.
You got it. Mark, you better set up an appointment with that cardiologist as soon as possible after you have that beef this morning.
Hey, let me tell you, Kamish, here's how I work. You know what? You're on this earth for only so much time. You better enjoy it while you can, because it's a short run for all of us. That's the way I look at it. All right? That's the way I look at it. I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here.
Hey, let's get to to the business at hand. What's this last week and change been like? Because the Women's Basketball Championship, a really successful event in Greensboro, and I know you got to be thrilled with the what could be ahead with the men's event that starts later today, Commissioner.
Well, the last weekend is reflective of the kind of conference that we have here at the ACC. There's really two takeaways, Wes. First and foremost, off the court, what I witnessed with the Greensboro Coliseum, the community itself, people were so excited to have the tournament back here. It was almost 365 days to the date of when we had to cancel a year ago. There was just such joy over that five-day span that everybody could see it. Secondly, the quality of teams is outstanding. I think you're going to see it on Selection Sunday, but we certainly saw it over the course of those 12 basketball games. Just amazing coaching, tremendous athletes on the floor, and just some great games. That final that NC State won was tremendous. You have Dana Evans, the two-time ACC Player of the Year, going up against one of our local products here, Alyssa Cunane. It was just a great battle, and Reyna Perez knocks down that mid-range jumper with 2 seconds to go, and NC State goes home as the champions. But, you know, all the teams that came did such a great job when it came to having tremendous discipline. We went through an awful lot of testing and, precautionary kind of measures to make sure we had a safe tournament. They've sacrificed all year and certainly this last weekend, but we really want to thank them for what they've done and really excited about the next step for our women's programs in the conference.
Commissioner, I want to get back to making the transition to the ACC. You had such a great reputation as an athletic director at Northwestern and everything that you've done leading up even to Northwestern. So I would assume that you know all the folks you got to deal with. But what have you had to learn about the ACC in the first month by taking over as the new commissioner?
I don't think it happens, you know, just in a month, Mark. I think it's going to be a process. The best thing that I've tried to do is to just listen and to learn. And certainly the path that I've had in athletics administration and working in multiple conferences, there's really a cross-pollination because you're working together across Power Five conferences, across 32 Division I conferences. And I've really had the pleasure to work with so many of the directors of athletics, several of the presidents, an awful lot of the coaches. And so you try to learn the nuances and what makes the ACC the best conference in the country. And I've really, you know, tried to do that. I had a great, you know, over 3-hour dinner over at Fleming's this past week with Commissioner Swofford, and he was tremendous. But, you know, you inherit a great staff here, so you listen to them. And at every turn, you just try to soak it all in. But I've learned there's great pride and history in the ACC in many areas. But what I think really stands out is this opportunity to have great balance amongst your 15 schools academically and athletically. These are 15 world-class academic institutions that stand for the best in higher education, as well as 15 incredibly successful athletic programs when you look at broad-based programming. So the history is rich in tradition. I want to continue to build upon the legacy that's been over the last 67 years or so and continue to push it in the right direction.
It's also at a time, your arrival and your timing is pretty good because you're coming to town and being a part of an event this particular week that is the centerpiece of the ACC's history. It's now been joined by the football championship game. It's been joined by other singular events that happen. But the men's basketball tournament is essentially what created the league and galvanized the league in the early years. To that effect now, in the last, 10 days, 2 weeks, we now know that you can have the general public enjoy the event. And given the circumstances and all the things that I know you and I've texted back and forth about, this is a unique opportunity for the ACC to give some normalcy back to a supporting fan base of these institutions and to the Greensboro community as a whole, I think.
No question. I think you said it perfect, Wes. Yeah, this is about bringing a community together. This is about bringing 15 institutions together and those that feel safe enough to travel. Really appreciate Governor Cooper and the stance that he took about a week ago, allowing the percentages to be in the Greensboro Coliseum that will allow fans to come. To me, and I think to the staff and to our schools, most importantly, it allows the families of these student athletes to see last weekend their daughters and this week their sons play in such a prestigious and historic tournament. There's not a better basketball tournament in the country than the ACC tournament. There's just not. And you can go back in history and look at all the great games, look at all the great teams, look at all the great players, look at all the great coaches. It's the envy of all. And I know that because I've been at different places. And so it's really an exciting event. But I think it starts to give people hope because a year ago we started with a pandemic and we lost most of the ACC tournament, as did other conferences. And this is a bright light that has started to shine now that I think everybody enjoys, whether you love the ACC or you're new to the ACC or you're just kind of semi-interested in what's happening. I think it's got a lot more significance than, you know, the games that are being played. It really brings people together, and there's optimism in the air for sure.
You know, I thought your answer about one of the things I've concentrated on is I've listened. And I've always found that the best leaders are great listeners. And John Swofford, I thought, was one of the best listeners I've ever met. So I'm kind of curious, if you don't mind, if we go back to that conversation. We got two really smart guys who are great listeners. What did you learn from Commissioner Swofford that you said, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. I'll keep a note of that. Is there any item?
Well, there's a couple things. One is I finished my dinner right away. He hadn't even taken a bite. So it was exactly how I wanted it to be. I could just let him talk. He left me a note on the desk in my office, and I show up and, you know, trying to find my way around. And I would just say in there, he said a couple things, but the thing that hit home is just be yourself. Just be Jim Phillips. And he reiterated that when I had dinner with him. And it's really hard to follow a guy like John Swofford. It just is. I've said it before. I think I've said it to the two of you. I just think he's been the gold standard of college commissioners. He's given 40 years to the ACC, 15 as the athletic director of North Carolina in the last quarter century here in Greensboro as the ACC commissioner. And so if you look at that and you look at the history, Jim Weaver, Robert James, Gene Corrigan, John Swofford, that can freeze you, right? You can just kind of get immobilized because how could I ever live up to the standards of those four gentlemen? But you just take it one day at a time and you be yourself and you move forward. So I want to build upon what those gentlemen have done here at the ACC. Again, it'll be a team effort. We have a tremendous staff that I'm really, really fortunate to join. We have these tremendous institutions and presidents and chancellors that really believe in what higher education is and how athletics fits into it. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to move the conference forward in a really positive direction. So at the end, the nearly 10,000 student athletes will benefit from our leadership collectively.
Jim, here in our first segment, I'll ask you this. In light of what you saw, not only in your time at Evanston as the Big Ten went through their winter sports schedule, you also, obviously, since being named commissioner, had to keep an eye on this league. The fact that 82% of the conference games were played in men's and women's basketball this season, that's a pretty strong statement to the commitment not only of the student-athletes, but the coaches, the administrators, and certainly the health and medical folks involved at each institution, right?
Correct, Wes. And, you know, I've been in this thing, you know, 25, 30 years or so. I don't think I've seen more sacrifice from a group of student athletes, certainly here in the ACC, these nearly 10,000, but across the country, because this isn't a normal college experience for them. And for them to really be students and to learn, and a lot of it's been virtual, so that has its challenges. And then to come over to the gym or wherever their workout facility is, depending on what sport they're playing, and then literally go back to their residence hall or their apartment and not have much more interaction than that on a daily basis, day after day, week after week, month after month. It's pretty remarkable. It really is. And when you talk about over 90% in women's basketball games were played in the ACC, or 82% on the men's basketball side, as well as nobody played more football games than our conference did. That's a credit to a lot of people, the medical people and the coaches. But at the center of that, that's a credit to the student athletes and what they've done. So I can't tell you and express how proud I am for what they've done. And this was a strictly a opt-in or opt-out type of situation since the pandemic hit us. And for those student athletes to give up those types of things in their life to play the sport that they love is, it's really heartening, for sure.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with the commissioner. And I think Pac has a couple of things he really needs to work out. Something about a blimp in the building. Maybe there's a golf cart involved in a spring sport. There's all sorts of punch list items that he's been waiting on now that you're fully fledged in the office. And hopefully we get to continue the show. More with the commissioner on the eve of the men's basketball tournament next after another bite of the Portillo's on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham and the commissioner, Jim Phillips. We are live on a Tuesday tournament.
How's the Portillo's?
The Portillo is good. I've already made a dent, but the problem is Chester and Fuller, as soon as Mrs. P came down, they knew. They went from deep sleep to, oh, it's go time. Mrs. P's brought, and normally it's Bojangles Biscuits, a proud corporate sponsor. But with the commissioner today, Chicago, yeah. I mean, you know how we're going to go on this thing. So the boys are eyeballing me, so we'll get through this, I hope, without them jumping up here on the desk. But nevertheless, we were talking about the amazing job student athletes, coaches, medical staff, just to get all these games in. And, Commissioner, we've been talking about, hey, you just got to embrace what you get and don't worry about what you don't get, because the effort made to just have a season in all these sports has been nothing short of miraculous. Can you get a sense, as we sit here in early March, that, hey, by the time we get to late summer into fall and get ready for a football season, there have been a number of ADs made comments about, hey, we're expecting full houses and all that stuff. Do you get a sense, big picture, of where we are as far as how we're going to progress this summer and into a football season in 21?
I do, Mark. As you mentioned, we're really looking at the 21-22 athletic season in a regular kind of sense, that we expect to play all of our fall sports and the whole assortment of conference games and non-conference games. We've really been really fortunate to be led by our medical advisory group, and they'll continue to lead us into the future. But we're planning for what you described, a full season. We'll be nimble. We'll stay agile as we have, and the medical experts will guide us and tell us, you know, what will be appropriate, what won't be. As you can see, some of the states are opening up. So it's one of the questions I get an awful lot from the fans is, when are we going to be able to come and see games across all of our footprint with our 15 institutions? And we're really hopeful. And I think we're all watching in our country the medical advances, the vaccines, the number of vaccines that are available now. You know, the National Guard's here in Greensboro administering to the community. So, you know, help is on the way, and we remain really optimistic about our fall sports.
Commissioner, when you look at the spring as it starts its schedule, you know, we've talked about the fall and the winter and the movement and the flexibility, nimbleness is the word I think you used about, you know, as we move forward through those schedules. As we get through the spring, how much does that help us kind of trampoline into next year to see the spring schedule finish up, things like that? It's important, I guess, to finish the journey is what I'm getting at.
For sure. I mean, well stated. And we're really excited about our spring sports. This weekend, we'll cap the eighth of, you know, nine championships for winter. So we're right there. But our spring sports, that's ACC. When you talk about softball and baseball and the golfs and tennises and lacrosse, you know, I mean, we're a conference of champions. And I can just see the excitement from those student athletes. And, you know, I've had some interactions with some of the student athletes across all of our sports, our Olympic sports, and they repeatedly thank us as a staff at the ACC for helping pave the way for them to be able to play again their sports that they love. So, you know, it's really exciting to see where we're at with spring sports. I can't wait to get out to some of the campuses coming up and see some of these amazing student athletes compete in the spring.
Commissioner, is there a ACC event or a venue that you've never been to for a game? I mean, because listen, you've worn many hats, and when you become the commissioner, you have access, obviously, to everything from Central New York down to South Beach, per se. But is there something that you're looking forward to by saying, "Hey, listen, I've never been to a fill in the blank"? I'm just curious what your bucket list would be.
Wow, great question. I've been to so many of our institutions and so many of the venues. I'm just looking forward to the competition within the conference. That's what I haven't seen up close and in person. I've seen it from a distance. I've seen it far. But I mean, when I just think about the student athletes of the past in the ACC and the current student athletes, I certainly follow how we're recruiting and try to in all sports. That's what I'm most excited about, is seeing these young student athletes compete against one another in the venues, because it's usually, it would, in my experiences would be, you know, be part of another conference coming in to play an ACC team. And also getting to know the coaches a little bit deeper. As I said earlier, I've gotten a chance to work with several of them, but a chance to on a more regular basis. It's one of the things I did right away in December was to call all the football coaches, all the women's head basketball coaches, and all the men's head basketball coaches to just try to introduce myself to them, and then try to go from there and get to as many other coaches as I could. But that to me, Mark, is kind of my bucket list of just getting in and seeing ACC competition firsthand.
Commissioner, I know you were sitting on the Division I Men's Basketball Selection Committee when you assumed the commissionership, so you had to step away from that. But I will ask you this. I know how big it was for Northwestern to go to that tournament a couple of years ago and get a win. Now, all of a sudden, you're kind of stumping, if you will, for an entire league. Most have seven projected for next week from the men. You find a way, maybe we can throw one or two more logs on that fire by Sunday night?
Well, I was with Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director of North Carolina, on Saturday night, and I told him, do not come back to Chapel Hill unless all 15 get selected on Selection Sunday. So we'll see if Bubba returns at the end of the tournament.
No pressure.
No pressure, Bubba. I really think that as you know, the league has been so balanced. It's been a cannibalization, if you will, of each other. And the league is worthy of minimum, to me, seven teams. And I think eight or nine, depending on what happens this week here in Greensboro. But I also have great confidence in the selection committee. Having served in that capacity, that's not an easy assignment, because there's a lot of worthy schools out there. And the COVID piece of it, guys, is really gonna have to kind of factor into the equation, because it can really wreck the momentum of programs and teams. And we've seen it in our own league when teams have had to take a pause. We've had some really good teams that it took them about 2 weeks, and that meant maybe three games or four games where they weren't really back in sync before they hit their stride again. So it's happened across the country. Mitch Barnhart's the chair, the athletic director at Kentucky, and again, he's got a great group of nine other individuals, including Bubba, and they'll get it right. They'll get it right on Selection Sunday, and we'll all be eager to watch the selection show and watch our schools flashed across the board.
All right, the toughest question for last. What's your assessment so far of the programming on ACC Network?
I will say fantastic until this morning. And the only reason I say is, how in the world do I have to follow Coach Bennett? Okay, well, that was a bad sequence there, having to follow Tony this morning. But no, the programming's been great, and the network is outstanding. It just is, and we really, really are fortunate to have a great partner in ESPN. Our ability to showcase these 15 amazing institutions on this network is just tremendous. And we're gonna continue to build upon that. We're gonna work hard with distribution and making sure some of the areas within, again, our footprint, we get the ACC network, broadcast in those areas. So it's a new network. It's still in its infancy stage, but it certainly has been tremendous to see how great of a network it is. But I think the best is yet to come.
Well, as you know, Mary McElroy headed up a wonderful event last week from your office on the women's basketball side. Paul Brazo does a phenomenal job on the men's side with the tournament as well. And we look forward to watching it unfold starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon here on ACC Network. And grateful for your time this morning. Always good to see you. Hope you're well. Hope the transition's well. Hope there are not too many boxes hanging around at the Phillips house in both Evanston and in North Carolina.
And the food. Don't forget the food, Wes.
And some food.
That's it. We look forward to breaking bread, though, with you, Commissioner.
Guys,
seriously.
Great to be on with you guys. Appreciate all you do for our great conference. Thanks.
All right. Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC. When we come back, we go from the commissioner to the 9 o'clock hour. Alisa Cunane, the MVP of the ACC Women's Basketball Championship, is coming up next right here on Packer and Durham. And we get ready for day one. The Blue Devils take the floor against Boston College in the second game of three today from the Coliseum in Greensboro.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.